If you're able, please stand for the reading of the gospel. This is the gospel according to Luke, beginning with chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything that he had, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Great story. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. This is the word of God for the children of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Old familiar story. I graduated seminary in 2000, went there for 4 years, was serving a church down in Greene County, right? 4 kids. I would leave Monday morning, drive 3.5 hours to get to Methodist Theological School in Ohio, which sat right on the edge of a little town called Delaware, which is north of Columbus, like the middle of Ohio. And there I would live out of my suitcase. I would study, read, write papers, take tests, sit in class Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, sometimes on Thursday, come home Thursday night, then take care of family and church. I missed family events. I missed school activities. And we paid the price. It was the best of times and the worst of times. Because for all the sacrifices I made, it had its upside too. I shared a bedroom with another fellow, the Reverend Charles Prevost. Chuck and I have remained family to this day, even though it was like 20 years ago. Chuck and I are thicker than brothers because of our experiences together. And then we shared a bathroom with two guys on the other side. We were down the end of the hall, and we were partay central. We kept pop on the windowsill outside the window during the winter to keep it cold. We ate at a cafeteria, and I don't know how many of you have ever had to eat at a cafeteria on a regular basis. It's kind of hit and miss. Sometimes it was good, sometimes it was real bad. But we did find an old room downstairs of our dorm, and me and the fellas I hung out with, we took that old room and we scrubbed it and cleaned it up, and we put a pool table in there and dartboard, and we had a hangout, a kind of a student place. And I remember one time a good friend of mine, Dwayne Burfield, who just retired, United Methodist pastor. Like I said, best of times, worst of times. Dwayne went into the bathroom to take a shower. And while he was in the shower, I went in and took all his clothes. And then I took all his towels. And I took the rugs. And I put them all in his bedroom, and I shut and locked the door, and I sat down and waited. And I heard the shower quit. I heard the door open, and then I heard him go, hee, hee, hee. And I heard him laughing, and then he came, and he had to go out in the hall and knock on his own door. And he knocked on his door, and he tried the door, and it was locked, and he laughed some more, and he went back in the bathroom. I know, it was just so, it was so much fun. But it was still, I couldn't wait to get home. I missed my wife and my child, something terrible. It was a lot of hard work. And we did that for 4 years. It was good to get home. This prodigal son, he wanted that carefree life. He didn't want any more responsibilities. He didn't want to be held accountable. Come on, Dad, give me the money I got coming to me. Let me get out of here. I don't want to work for you anymore. Do you remember the older son said, I've slaved for you all these years? Well, Dad had this big piece of property, and there was work to be done. And Dad called the shots. He was the big chief, and his one son had enough, the younger son. So he divides up the property and gives that inheritance, the money, to the younger son, who then takes off. You know, who wouldn't want to give up all your responsibilities? Throw the clock out the window. Who wouldn't want to be a kid again and know what you know now? Well, that's what this fella did, this prodigal son. He heads into the city where it says he squandered his wealth, squandered it. Wasted it, indulged himself, and blew all his money. The older son knew what he did with it. He said, he spent it on prostitutes, Dad. And that's what he did. How many times have we heard about lottery winners who win hundreds of thousands of dollars, even millions of dollars, and then what do we read about them a couple years later? They're broke. They're broke. They waste it all. And I know personally some people who have come into a huge settlement, and they're going through it like it's water, and we're really worried for them. This younger son did that. He had friends he didn't know he had come out of the woodwork, and he squandered all his money. And when he was flat busted broke, then a famine came on the land. The crops weren't growing. It was too dry. There was not enough food for everybody. Businesses were closing. Jobs were hard to come by. And the only thing he could find was feeding pigs on a farm. Boy, one of the lowest things you could do. The only thing lower than that would have been a politician. Oh, I didn't say that. Sorry. Any politicians here? Yeah. So he's feeding the pigs, and he's so hungry that he wishes he could eat the very thing that he's feeding to the pigs. But nobody gives him any extra. He's got to feed what he has to the pigs, so he's basically starving, wasting away. And it says that he finally comes to his senses, and he thinks about his father and his father's servants. He finally hit bottom. You know, we have a big problem in our community. I mean, all over our country, there's a drug problem. It's considered an epidemic in our area. Opioid epidemic. Well, there's alcoholism is an epidemic, and gambling problem is an epidemic. And people don't want help until they've hit bottom. And it's when they're broken, without hope, when they've tried all that the world has to offer and nothing works, that they'll finally reach out for that help. They'll finally look up. That's what this prodigal son had to do. He had to hit bottom before he finally came to his senses. And he thought to himself, boy, my dad treats his servants fair. He gives them more than enough food to take care of them and shelter and everything. I'd be much better off just being a servant for my dad than living like this. And so he decides to head back. After how long, who knows, maybe it was years, maybe it was only a year, spending all that money and having a great time, he found out it all wasn't worth it. You know, what profits it a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? John 12:25 says, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Paul said in Philippians 3:13, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. The crown of life. He has not taken a hold of it. But one thing I do, he says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Paul says he forgets what's behind. He forgets the world's values. He forgets trying to have all the possessions to take care of himself. All of that stuff means nothing to him. He realizes that it's not important anymore. Instead, he is striving for what is ahead, the kingdom of heaven, salvation in Jesus. He knows that that's what counts. That's what's important. And so he no longer worries about the rest of the world. And that's what happens to this prodigal son. He realizes all of that riotous living doesn't mean a thing. So he heads home to his father. Now let those who have ears hear. The house is sitting way off in the distance, and he's coming down the road that leads to the house. While he's still a far piece away, his father, who let's say he was sitting on the porch of the house, sees him coming, and he can tell by the way he's walking that it's his son. He's obviously been looking for his son, keeping an eye out for him. And so this father, who is the head of all the area around him, he's in charge of all these servants and his family. He calls all the shots, prim and proper. He gathers up his robes and he takes off running down through the yard and out the road. And the servants are like, what's going on? What's going on? And they're running behind him. And this father runs up to his son, grabs him and kisses him. He is overcome with joy and compassion. And the son starts to make his excuses to say he's sorry, to make this apology that he's practiced. Father, forgive me, for I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. And the father's a tut, 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 tut. You're back.
I've missed you so much. And he says to his servants who have come, he says, get the best robe, not just any robe, get the best robe we have and put it on him. Cover up his nakedness, cover up all of this dirt and grime and the things that he's been through. Cover it up and put the ring on his finger, which shows that he's mine. He's my child. It's the family crest is on that ring. Give him authority again. Put that ring on his finger and put the sandals on his feet. He can go anywhere he wants. And then kill the fattened calf because my son who was lost is now found. He was dead and now he's alive. He's back. That's all that matters. And so they kill the fattened calf and they celebrate. They celebrate. When we know people who have hit bottom, they need to come home. Maybe we need to come home. Maybe we've done some wild, extravagant, riotous living of our own. Maybe there's some sinfulness going on that we need to repent of. Because this is a story of repentance, of coming home. It's a story about a God who loves us so much that he comes running himself to meet us and welcomes us home, throws his arms around us and kisses us and blesses us, forgives us. So maybe you and I need to come home, to repent and come home. Maybe we need to share this message with somebody else in the family or at work or one of our friends. Maybe they've hit bottom. Maybe they're on their way down. They need to hear the good news that God loves them so much that the moment that they truly repent of their sins, that God himself will come running to meet them. Scriptures tell us, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. So God is looking for you. He can't wait for you to come home. And the moment that you do repent and come home, there's a party in heaven. A big celebration that goes on. God loves you, and so do I.